tricky koala. He's a very tricky act to follow. Every time you think.
Quickie koala was a thing. I keep hearing Jeremy say it in the commercial. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I didn't want to know what it was. So I guess that's what it is. That was some pretty good DJing there, Mike. I like how it blended together there with yes and change. Well, it's my new favorite song now. Quickie Koala. I shouldn't admit that to anybody. All right, so we're back. And Monica, you got interrupted in the middle of your thoughts. Did you want to continue with what you were saying there? Did you have more?
Well, I kind of summed it up there with the fact that our enemy is in panic mode, and that's very well illustrated by some of these crazy things that they are coming out with, like what Blackbird said about NIST, and they now have formalized this fact that they don't need facts. They don't need to have factual information. And then, of course, just to summarize, you know, what we said about basically in the trials and the court systems, they are telling us that they are not interested in evidence and truth. And so that I just would say that, you know, they are in a desperate situation here where they're getting so blatant and in our faces with their Talmudic law. They're ramping things up. They're speeding up their agenda, I would say. And I think that they're kind of in this flailing about mode. You know, they're making a lot of mistakes. And I think a lot of people are being rattled awake. I really do. And I think that is good. That is going to be our only hope. Now, there's going to be a lot of suffering and turmoil and blood and death in the meantime. But in the end, we will win. I do not believe that we are just going down and going extinct and we're gone. No, we are going to come out of this. I don't know what it's going to look like in the meantime, but that's what we're here to do is to, you know, try to help people to see what's going on and see what's at stake. And we all have to get on board. Like, it's all hands on deck now. This is, I don't know, it's my mission. I think all of us on this show, it's our mission. And I think we have to go till our dying breath. And you know, they tell us we can't say this and we can't say that. And there's ever more tightening of you know, what we are allowed to say. And some people, they might be critical of, gee, we should not speak so brazenly and so loudly about these things because, oh, we might go to jail. And I'm saying, well, that's kind of crazy if you're thinking along those lines, because then you're already enslaved, you're already in jail if you are going to listen to those blots of toner on paper, as Alfred likes to call them. That's what these Talmudic laws are, is blots of toner on paper. They're trying to tell us that, you know, how to think and what to say and what to believe, and it's marching us off the cliff. So that's all. I was just kind of pulling that together, and you know, we got to carry on. I mean, I have some other political prisoners I want to talk about, but I'm going to stop talking now for a moment, let you jump in. And I know you have some callers too, so I'll let you take over there.
Yeah, we have some callers, and you know what you're saying is very compelling, Monica, and it makes me think of the psychology behind the cowardice that makes up so many people now. You know, and I think there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh well, you know, I've talked to people about this, there's nothing I can do about it, and it's like, I'm comfortable. I mean, the undertones of there, nothing I can do about it is, oh, I'm so comfortable, so I don't want to do anything about it. You know, I don't want to, you know. And I try to tell, you know, for me, there's no violent solution to this. That's my thing. But I think that to the Jews, the most violent thing you can do is get out and tell the truth and expose them. So, I mean, that's why they have these hate speech laws. So
exactly. That's so well put, William, so well put. To them, this is violence, us just talking about them.
Well, and Monica, you're such a hero because in Canada, you're a lot more at risk than we are here, as of now, as D. Michael Jones put, and that's nothing stopping you with your brother being thrown back in there again. And you know,
I don't want to be called a hero, and I'm just, I guess I do take a lot of inspiration from Alfred. He says, the more they tell me I can't say something, the louder I'm going to say that very thing. Yeah. And just go head on. And we need to inspire others to have the same attitude. And so I don't want to be called a hero of any sort, because then it separates me from people around me. And I don't want that. I want everybody to just take on this attitude, this approach, that we absolutely must face this head on. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah, let's kick it over to Blackbird.
Oh, I totally agree. Great points. And, you know, one of the things you have to understand is the supremacist mindset, as, you know, the Jews see them as royalty, that they are the chosen and everyone else is goyim or cattle. And it is, even the most atheistic Jew still has the attitude that it is bad for a goyim to question, ridicule, or mock the Jews or anything about Jewish history. It's just, you have to accept what we say, and if you question that, then you're an anti-Semite, and you know that they're going to mess with you. And you know, that is just the mindset, and you see that seeping in all of these NGO groups that move into your communities to fix them. This is the battle cry of Zionism, Tikkun Olam. They are there to fix the world because white people messed it up so badly. So they have to get rid of all the white people, and then they'll have their little Jewish utopia, right? So this is what they write about and you know, share amongst themselves, is they're fixing the world, and you know, we're the problems, though. Yeah, that's the thing. And so now they have redefined us as Amalek so they can justify it legally per their Talmudic laws, right? You know, you just say your enemy's Amalek, and that Amalek creep has spread from, first it was the Germans and National Socialism were at Amalek, then all of Europe, and now it's all white people, right? So this is why the Kalergi plan is put in place to dilute all white nations so they're not the monolithic structures they once were, according to Barbara Lerner Spector, right? That, you know, we're fixing Europe, we're fixing Australia, we're fixing New Zealand, we're fixing North Kakalaki. You know, we've got a chicken swinger who's now going to be, you know, running for governor of North Kakalaki. It's like, okay, these people make up 0.000% of North Kakalaki population, so definitely we need a Jewish, you know, governor in this state. And they have taken over the local governments, and they've got all these NGOs that are, you know, just flooding this area with illegals and, you know, so-called immigrants, and you know, but they're invaders, and it's there to destroy what's here. And that's the thing about Marxist philosophy. the first step of community organizing is community disorganizing. This is out of, Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. You know, you have to go in and destroy all the existing power systems and seize power yourself, either overtly or covertly. Right. And this is why you have people like Jeffrey Epstein that have got the biggest blackmail operation being run on U.S. soil and being overseen by none other than Ehud Barak of Unit 269. This is Israeli special ops. This is the elite. And they were the ones running the blackmail scheme of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and, of course, her father, Robert Maxwell, to basically, get something on everybody with power so they can control them covertly, right? And this is what we're up against is these people play hardball. This is real politic. They don't care about good and evil. They're beyond that because they're the Chosenites. So back to you.
Folks, this is such a fantastic conversation. I'm really sort of planning to take a back seat to it because I want to let these two amazing people speak here. Monica Schaefer and Blackbird 9. Blackbird's got a show on Saturdays, the Saturday Snack Shack what is it, 6 p.m. Central?
Yes, Blackbird. 7 Eastern, 6 Central.
Yeah.
And Miss Monica is going to be on Saturday night. Spoilers.
Awesome. Yeah. And Monica, plug your info too.
I'll do that. I know there's a whole bunch of callers lined up. I don't know if you want to take them or not, but I think you do. I've got a couple of websites that I'm responsible for. So mine is freespeechmonica.com. And again, Monica with a K, and it's just all one word, freespeechmonica.com. And since we did talk about Leslie Borey, the latest article there is that first of his booklets that he's been sending me, and it's there. So you learn a little bit more about what he's about if you take a look there. And plus, I do have a political prisoners page there with addresses. And since we've been talking about political prisoners, it's really, really a good idea to write a letter or a short note or just a little card or just a greeting. It doesn't have to be anything deep and philosophical or controversial. You could just send a little note to political prisoners, even if people might think, oh, I don't know that person. Well, you can learn a little bit about them and just send them a note anyway. You don't have to have met them. You don't have to know them in advance to write them. I received many letters when I was in jail from people I'd never met before, and it was my lifeline. It really was. Okay, so that's that website, freespeechmonica.com. Then there's the truthandjusticeforgermans.com. That's all spelled out. truthandjusticeforgermans.com, and that's the website that has been has had an anonymous complaint which triggered the visit by the hate crimes unit that made the big trip all the way to my little remote place in central BC. They came all the way from the northern the lower mainland to visit me. So that's two men, 2 days travel time and all those expenses that Canadians paid for. Thank you very much. Just to pay me a little visit for the contents on that website. So I would encourage you to go and look for the hate on that website. Maybe, as Frederick, you like to call them, hate facts. Oh, we have so many inconvenient hate facts on that website. And then what else was I going to talk about?
Wanted to ask you about Alfred, how he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to elaborate a little on what happened to you on that visit. Would love to hear about that too, but...
Yeah, well, they had this anonymous complaint and they decided that instead of phoning me or writing me a letter to tell me about it, they would come and see me and meet me and see what I'm all about. And I guess I showed them and that I didn't have
scary.
Horns. I guess I didn't have horns growing out of my head. They didn't haul me away or anything. I mean, one of the first things they said when I was a little bit hot under the collar when they first arrived and so you're not under arrest. And I said, oh, yet. And they said, no, we didn't say that word. You said it. No. Anyway, we had a long conversation. I mean, again, some people are critical of that, I even engage with them at all. But I was thinking about my brother Alfred, and he says engage at every opportunity you have. And I did engage with these two men. I looked at them as being human beings. I asked them if they were Jewish, by the way. I did. I asked them that, and they said no. And I guess I think I believe them for certain. One of them, no way was he Jewish. The other one, I don't know. But they said, no, we're not Jews. But anyway, you know, I suggested they change careers. I did. I told them that a couple of times. And we talked about all kinds of things, like to the point where the one guy who has a young child, like a baby at home, I said, you know, the best thing you can do for your child is never to put her into public school, into the public school system. And so, you know, our conversation covered a lot of things and connected a lot of dots for them. And I told them about some of those things we talked about in the first hour, about what the judges have said in trials. I told them about those things, you know, to kind of show them that, hey, I think they're working on the wrong side. And yeah, maybe you guys should get a new job, new career. Like, this is not the place where you want to be. You're on the wrong side of history, you know. So, okay, so that was the nature of that conversation. You were asking about Alfred. Alfred is
real
doing...
Real quick, Monica. Yep. Folks waiting on to call in. I got you. We're going to get to you. We got Joe in Florida, and then we have Dave in the Thumb, Michigan, and then Lark in Texas. So, guys, just hold on. We're going to get to you. Monica... Please continue.
I'll be brief. I'll just summarize. Alfred's doing very well. He has been in jail for 2 months now out of his 6-month sentence. So that's one third down, two thirds to go. And yeah, he got a job in prison where he's outdoors, which is fantastic. What a far cry from the 558 days of solitary confinement in his four-year jail term that he did previously. And I mean, you know, there's no mandates for masks and all that, so that's why things are going nicely, smoothly right now, and he's in that job, like I say. So he was very cheerful in his letter to me that I received not too long ago. I was laughing my head off, and he apologized for not writing sooner, but he said, you know, he's in a cell with two other guys, and there was only one broken pen that had very little ink left, and he didn't want to get, you know, killed for using up the last ink to write a letter to a hater like me. I mean, I was just laughing my head off because he gives me this great title of, you know, awful, terrible, horrible, heavy hitter, terrorist, Monica, all in good jest, you know, and that's how we talk with one another, and it's good. So, yeah, I'd say he's in good spirits, at least the last that I heard from him.
Well, I want to say that we've had Alfred, we've had interviews, you know, just recently. I mean, this
yes.
year, you know, just before he went in, we had like several conversations. So, folks, please go back in the archives and look for, I guess, just look up William, Monica, Alfred, and then all of those should come up, you know, from March, April, May, around that time. I don't know when the last one we did was, probably around May or so, June maybe. So when did he go? He went in 2 months ago, so he's been in since August
23rd. August 23rd, he was picked up from his home. Yeah.
Yep. And his attitude is so incredible that I'm sure he actually is probably in good spirits there, you know, and just from the stories he was telling and how happy he is to be able to stand up against this beast and give them nothing, which is what we all
That's
should
right.
be giving them
nothing. I'll just to indicate his great sense of humor and how he handles things. The judge, just before he was let out of his 4-year jail term, the judge went on a conference call with him to instruct him of what he's allowed to do and who he's allowed to speak with and what he's not allowed to do, etc., etc. She told him that he had to stay out of the scene of the right, you know, the right wing, and not talk to any people on the right. And first he indicated he doesn't even know who she's talking about, like name who is she talking about. And then he says, I never talk to people on the right, extreme right, because if they're on my extreme right, I turn 90 degrees and I face them, and then they're straight in front of me, and then I talk to them.
Awesome. Hey, I guess we're up against the break. Are we going into the break, Mike?
Largest Confederate store located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
When it gets cold outside and you got nobody to love, you'll understand what I mean when I say there's no way we're gonna give up. Like a little girl cries in the face of a monster that lives in a dream.
And I have no special attachment to that song, so I'm gonna come in earlier than I usually do. I'm sure it's a fine song. Okay, so anyway. So, Monica, you kind of got cut off on that last part, and I didn't. You were telling a funny thing about what happened, and I kind of missed it.
Did you miss it? But I think I got it all in before the music came in, at least in my ears. Anyway,
distracted. I don't know. Maybe others were. I think the music sometimes comes louder on the listeners than us.
Basically, Alfred just said to this judge who was telling him he has to, he cannot talk with people on the extreme right. He just said, I never talk to people on the extreme right. I turn 90 degrees, I face them, and then they're straight in front of me, and then I talk with them. That's it.
That's perfect. I mean, come on, yeah, it's so ridiculous, you know. The extreme right, you know. Who's on the extreme right? That guy who just took over Speaker of the House, the ultra-Zionist that wants to go, you know, carpet bomb Gaza and wipe out the entire, genocide the entire race of Palestinians. Maybe that's the extreme right.
He mocked her. He mocked her big time. Yeah.
Right. Did he say how she responded to it?
I'm not sure, but he also mocked her on that same conference call. Like, it was on the video, she was on the video screen, and this was when he was still in jail, right? And it happened to be my birthday, and so he said, oh, you can please pass this message on to my sister, and he starts to sing happy birthday to me, and he did not stop until he was finished the song. she was getting really exasperated, so he really mocked her, but it was all very polite and nice, you know. He didn't yell at her or say any profanities. He just mocked her, but in a very nice and polite way.
Is this on video? Can we see it?
I don't know if there's a recording of that, but that was in jail, right? He was in jail in the cell, and she, or in the, you know, the special cell that they would have with the conference call type of setup there, with that the judge was having the meeting with him.
All right. Well, we haven't heard from Blackbird for quite a bit here, so let me kick it over to you, Blackbird, and then we'll get to our callers after the half hour break.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's part of the strategy, though, is it's called the struggle sessions. And this was what the Bolsheviks and the communists were famous for, is, you know, putting you in prison and making you publicly denounce everybody in your movement, everybody that you followed, you know, all your friends, family. You got to denounce it all to side with the state, right? That the official story. So the idea of, you know, oh, don't you go back, you know, hanging out with those Holocaust deniers anymore. And, you know, that's a way to keep you in prison even after you're out of prison. And it was called the struggle sessions, where they'd make people, you know, denounce everything, and you're just constantly under watch. And we see this playing out right now in the United States. Going through still, you know, trying to show that the last election was stolen, and they're making all the people that stood with Trump publicly denounce that, oh, we were all wrong about the election fraud, even though there's tons of hate facts that proves there was shenanigans with the election. But all these attorneys are out there having to say, oh, you know, no, I denounce Trump, and I denounce any claims about, you know, the elections were ever wrong. And the same thing with, oh, I have to denounce that I ever questioned the Holocaust, I was wrong. And, yeah, this is part of that psychological warfare to break you and keep you in a mind prison even after you're out of prison. And this, you know, like I said, it's the struggle session strategy. So back to you.
Yes, and I just found the link either I or you sent me yesterday of Gene Ellis pleads guilty in Fulton County. I got to play this real quick. Mike, can you play this clip real quick? And we get some of it before the break, maybe a little bit of it in there. It's an exact example of what you're talking about. I don't know if we'll have time before the break.
Thank you, Your Honor, for the opportunity to address the court. As an attorney who is also a Christian, I take my responsibilities as a lawyer very seriously, and I endeavor to be a person of sound moral and ethical character in all of my dealings. In the wake of the 2020 presidential election, I believed that challenging the results on behalf of President Trump should be pursued in a just and legal way. I endeavored to represent my client to the best of my ability. I relied on others, including lawyers with many more years of experience than I, to provide me with true and reliable information, especially since my role involved speaking to the media and to legislators in various states. What I did not do, but should have done, Your Honor, was to make sure that the facts the other lawyers alleged to be true were in fact true. In the frenetic pace of attempting to raise challenges to the election in several states, including Georgia, I failed to do my due diligence. I believe in and I value election integrity. If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump in these post-election challenges. I look back on this whole experience with deep remorse. For those failures of mine, Your Honor, I have taken responsibility already before the Colorado Bar, who censured me, and I now take responsibility before this court and apologize to the people.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honor, for the opportunity.
All right. I think we're up against the break.
if I'm hear the music. I don't know if I did or not.
The truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people.
In the wake of the 2020 presidential election, I believed that challenging the results.
Hello, from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, folks, we're back. I was running around there on the break, so I kind of lost track. Where were we, folks, there?
You're going to take some calls.
Okay. I think there was, I wanted to comment a little bit on that thing that we just heard there. I mean, how eerie, how perfect that worked out with Blackbird's comment. And that was just a thing that came across yesterday. I mean, just the groveling, this groveling and sniveling. It's going to take a lot of courage. We're going to have to muster up a lot of courage, folks, because the groveling and sniveling will get you nowhere. They don't respect you anymore for doing that. They have disdain even worse for you, for groveling and sniveling. I don't know. Maybe you, in that lady's case, it'll make her sentence for
simply, I don't know what she's talking about. Facts that she investigated, the whatever facts, they didn't match up with the Talmudic facts. So she had to come out and say they weren't true and grovel and apologize for something she probably did was completely with integrity. Yes. All right. So anybody, hey, Blackbird, did you want to comment on that real quick?
Oh, no, that was just a, I guess just that was a perfect example of what we're talking about. They want to break you. This is psychological warfare. And you could tell that woman was legitimately scared to death in front of that judge. And you know, I just have so much respect for, you know, people like Alfred that could look at these scary judges in the face and just mock them. You know, just, you know, no, I'm not going to fall for your spells of guilt and shame. Because I know I've done nothing wrong. You know, you can just throw me to the wolves, but I'm not going to, you know, grovel before you. So it's just, I hate that they, you know, broke this young woman who's, you know, trying to salvage her career, but her career is probably over now because, you know, once you've ever offended these people, you will never work in this town again, which I found out, you know, when I got blacklisted in 2003, you know, I was one of the most sought after international telecommunication engineers, right? And suddenly my phone just stopped ringing. And next thing I know, I was living out of my car in a tent for a few years. You know, that's how fast these people can destroy your life. So back to you.
Wow. We'll have to do, I want to do a show with you on that and just talk about it. I know you've talked about it millions of times, but let's go ahead and jump to the callers. And unfortunately, we lost Dave in the thumb. Dave, call back because we'll put you in there. I'll even put you right after Joe if you call back. I understand you guys got impatient or you had to go. But we just got three callers. Joe, now just two. Joe and then Lark in Texas. So Joe in Florida. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, William. Hey, Blackbird and Monica. Hey, listen,
hey,
Monica, I'm... Hey, listen. Oh, by the way, Blackbird, we missed you on Saturday. There was a repeat show last Saturday. Anyway,
no,
we missed your show on
Saturday. Yeah, we were live
Saturday.
Maybe
I missed it.
Okay.
Okay. And Monica, listen, I'm going to have to make you upset, Monica, because I'm agreeing with William. You are a hero. You and your brother are a hero. So I'm not going to put you on a pedestal, but I have to say it because you are truly a free speech hero, in my opinion.
I just refer to them as those darn Schaefer kids.
God bless them.
Thank
God bless
you.
Them both.
Blackbird,
Thank
I
you,
do
Monica.
Like that better. Than the darn Schaefer kids, I like that better.
We'll have to make a sitcom for you. Them darn Schaefer kids.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I have this theory that I want to get you guys' feedback on. So we're talking about, right, you know, Giuseppe on Sundays, he likes to quote the Russian saying, birds fly, fish swim, and Jews lie. Okay? And what I'm thinking of is, and this ties in with what's going on in Palestine right now, it seems to me that it's either the primary or even one of the very first weapons that Jews use when they go to war against somebody is the lying, the aggressive lying. Now, I bring this up because the 40 beheaded Jewish babies story it was on my radar here, okay? 40 beheaded Jewish babies. And I was thinking about this. By the way, William, thanks again. Amazing clip from Dr. Jones. His book is amazing. And one of the things he mentions in the Holocaust narrative is this. So in 1945, you know, Eisenhower and the people that were in charge in Germany had the camps along the Rhine of German soldiers, just run-of-the-mill German soldiers who had fought in the war, and they literally starved them to death. They left German soldiers just rank and file like any other soldier that was caught up in the war. And they left them outside on the floodplain along the Rhine River. And I believe the numbers that there were 1 million of these German soldiers who were starved to death and killed by the butcher, really, Eisenhower, and the powers that were running the show. Now, it's fascinating to me because one of the things we know is that Jews lie about little things and big things. But it seems like what do they do they deflect. When they are guilty of something, it's not just a lie, but they're going to invert it and say that the person who is the victim is actually the persecutor. So here's that lie about the 6 million, right? So you have 1 million German soldiers being killed by Eisenhower and the Allied powers. So let's come up with a story. Oh, let's make it 6 million Jews, and let's say there were gas chambers, or let's say that there were babies being thrown into flaming pits, right? So it brings me to this story. When I heard it, I couldn't believe it. 40, well, let's try and unpack this. 40 beheaded Jewish babies. Now, has anyone ever heard, a baby killed is a horrible tragedy. Has anyone ever heard of a beheaded baby? It's ridiculous. But then they go beyond their ridiculousness to say it wasn't one, it wasn't two, it wasn't a dozen, it was 40. You know, the part of this Jewish, I don't know, was it gematria, that they have these spells, these numbers, right? So everyone's repeating this fictional thing. And then what happens later? What happens later is we see that the butcher Netanyahu is targeting babies in Palestine. They have killed more than 2,000 children in Palestine as of late. And so it kind of makes sense, right? I wouldn't put it past these diabolical people to have planned to be murdering and massacring Palestinian babies, and their way of deflecting that. Well, let's put out this story. The other side, has already beheaded 40 Jewish babies. What do you think about their preposterous lies and that idea?
Joe, let me segue quickly into an article. I'm not going to read it all, just a little tiny bit from it. But this is from Zero Hedge. Israel delays Gaza invasion again as U.S. scrambles to put missile defenses in place. Both U.S. and Israeli officials have told the Wall Street Journal in a breaking major development that Israel has decided to further stall its planned out ground invasion of Gaza at the request of Washington. Though airstrikes have been ramped up, resulting in the Palestinian death toll soaring past 6,500. Okay, so that's all I wanted to say. 6,500 genocided Palestinians. Or let me kick it over to you, Monica, if you wanted to comment, and then Blackbird.
Yeah, thanks, Joel, for your excellent call, your excellent points. By the way, my father was in one of those, the Rhine Meadows, the Eisenhower death camps, and he did say that in the field that he was being kept in, so that particular, well, you call it camp, it sounds like there was, you know, buildings and stuff. No, it was just a field with barbed wire fence around it and whatnot. But he said between a quarter and a third of the men died there of starvation, of from the elements, disease, whatever, or just they just died. They became weak and died because their food rations were so low and whatnot. So anyway, that's like, I would say that, okay, I've got secondhand information. Firsthand would be my father, and because he was there. So yeah, right. And that's even in addition to that, there were the millions of Germans, other Germans who died after the war. I do believe more died after the actual, you know, hostilities ceased, like as far as bombs and whatnot, than during the war. So the war never end.
Yeah, the Morgenthau Plan, where they tried to starve Germans to death, literally, the whole population of the Morgenthau Plan.
And rape and expelled from the Eastern territories, and millions died along the way there, but it was one of the biggest mass expulsions of human beings ever. People estimate up to 16 million were expelled, and you know, and many were starved or killed or raped along the way, and yeah, just so it was pretty barbarous. So you're right about the deflection from their own crimes, and then blame the victim, like blame the Germans for the atrocities that they never did carry out, and now make all kinds of laws against it and go to jail if you speak out, you know, if you tell the truth. So it all kind of connects back to what we were talking about in the first hour.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Joe, really fantastic call, fantastic points. And, you know, the thing about blame the victim, Not only, it's not like when somebody commits a crime and then they frame someone else for the crime, you know, maybe a bystander or somebody who's near, somebody that's convenient, right? No, in this case, this is so evil, they frame the actual victim. And in the case of war, it's possible to do that because it's a huge amount of chaos. There's people, they can't identify all these people in these pictures, these atrocity pictures, or they create their atrocity propaganda. They say, oh, it's a pile of dead Jews. Ah, well, it was actually a pile of dead Germans that were killed by the firebombings in Dresden, for example, by the United States Air Force and the Royal Air Force, all controlled by the international Jews. But also there was the genocide of the Germans was so unbelievable after the war that you mentioned, Monica, and Hellstorm, that book talks about it, the death of Nazi Germany. I don't like the word Nazi, but the death of Germany between 1944 and 1947. You know, so it went on for a few years, and they had an actual plan, a Jewish genocide plan, as outlined by Theodor Kaufmann in his book,
Germany Must Perish.
Germany Must Perish. In 1941, written that said that the Germans need to be sterilized and they need to be pretty much wiped out. You know, and so now the Jewish rabbis are calling Germany is actually Amalek, which is the most their worst of the worst, what they consider of the Edom, who, you know, this Jewish religion is in the process of genociding all of the European people off of the planet right now. And the Germans represent Amalek, who, you know, if you can go on and you can look up Rabbi and Amalek, you'll see all these rabbis, especially one in particular I can think of, talking about that they have to exterminate. It's a military operation. Folks, if you're stuck in this delusion that these are our friends, please, please, please listen to what we're saying. Pass our this broadcast on to your friends and family so people can, you know, hopefully wake up. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that want to know the truth, and they just need the right thing to get snapped out of it with. So, Joe, again, thanks for the call. We're going to jump to Lark, but go ahead. Who wanted to speak there?
No, just one last thing is, it's happening now in real time. You see, what they are doing is they are genociding the Palestinians. And somehow, their lies, they think are going to get them out of it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks a lot, guys. Amazing show tonight. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Take care. I appreciate it, Joe. Sorry to cut you off. We're going to jump to Dave in the Thumb of Michigan. Dave, welcome.
I don't think... Ah, there I am. Hi, guys. It's always great to hear Joe. He's got a lot of great information, and I do agree. Monica, you and your brother are heroes. Now, I'm blind. My mom got the thalidomide shot when I was in the womb, and I wasn't born blind, but I gradually went blind. And both my parents were born in Canada. My mother's parents were from Armenia, and so my great-grandparents were literally beheaded with sickles by the Young Turks. So that there was a real Holocaust, and, it's funny how the Jews are talking about, all these beheaded babies, and, you know, my great-grandparents were literally beheaded. Now, they ended up in Canada, you know, my grandmother and her sisters. I do know how, but it's a long story. Anyway, so here's my take from a blind guy on what's going on here. The Jews created Hamas, and I think I was taught that Cain was of Satan, right? He was the serpent raped Eve in the garden, and Cain was the offspring of Satan. And so he was like the first Jew. And, you know, I believe they created, you know, homosexual, all that, and it's a birth defect. But so they created Hamas. So this is my take. So Benny Netanyahu and his Israeli Mossad and Gomorrah gang, dressed up as their mortal enemy, homo ass, and they attacked themselves. And, you know, did they cut heads off babies? I don't know. They're capable. You know they are. And so we got this huge false flag. The Jews created the false flag. And, you know, there's a lot of people calling in to you know, all different shows on RBN here thinking that this is real, this old, yeah, the, oh, those homo ass, they attacked the Jews, you know, those poor Jews. Anyway, so this is what I tell people. I'm going to wrap it up here. If you got questions, ask your favorite relatives, Uncle Sam, an anti-Semite, Uncle Ben, an Antifa. They'll tell you it is not real. It is real, and it is all by design. That's all I got, guys.
Nice.
I like that.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for the call. Great call. Hope to hear back from you at some point. I'm sorry to hear about the being blind, and then also what happened to your family. That's terrible.
Anybody that else? And we're pretty strong people, and you know, even though I'm losing my sight, I have a lot of vision, and I know what I know. And if a blind guy can see the false flag, you know, everybody else has been so dumbed down with this Jew lie that they're God's chosen people. How would God have a chosen people if it's not all of his people? You know, there's the big one, huge lie. And then the Hall of Cost, you know, that if you haven't heard that one, check that one out too. The Hall of Cost. Anyway, See you guys. Thank you. Good luck to you, Monica, you and your brother.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, we got Lark in Texas. Lark, welcome. Lark, you there?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I can barely hear you, though. So let me... Anyway.
Oh, okay.
This is what I want to add, and hopefully it'll only take about a minute. If you go to YouTube and you look at the channel, this is especially for you, Monica. It's a German language. It's the broadcast channel. The spelling is BROTKAST, broadcast channel. The little confab was arranged in Germany. It was attended by some Americans. It was called Let the Science Speak. So that's what you want to look for, broadcast channel, Let the Science Speak. Remember 1, 2, 3, that's the 1 hour, 23 minute mark. There's an American woman by the name of Catherine with a K, Watt, W-A-T-T, who spoke. She is a longtime paralegal. She's Catholic, and she is a mother. And she was invited to attend this confab over in Germany, along with notables like Pierre Corey, Sasha Latipola. You know, this ties into the arrest recently in Mexico of Rainer Hulmich, who's a German attorney. But what your brother is confronting is what's called EU communitarian law. And the same thing occurred with Jim Fetzer in his recent court case regarding Sandy Hook. The same thing. And things like this idea of shaming and redemption and sorrowful apologies, this is all written into the penal code today because many aspects of the law have adopted Talmudic law to the law. And this is worldwide. So I just wanted to bring that up. There's some other heroes out there that are working on this. A lot of them are writing on Substack, you know, exposing the darkness, the lioness of Judah, is Sasha Latkova. There's a woman in Britain. Her name is Tess Lowry, L-A-W-R-I-E. And she's heading up a group called BIRD. That's an acronym, B-I-R-D. But yeah, if you look at the work of Catherine Watt at her Substack channel, you can read it for free. It's called bailiwicknews.substack.com. Catherine Watt with a K, singular. And she has actually discovered the reality of community law. But it was the research that Nikki Rapana did 20 years ago. And she's applying it to her investigation. Go ahead.
Lark, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I appreciate your call and the information. Can you wrap it up real quick? I got one more caller.
No, I'm done. I think I've said enough. But, you know, we need to be talking about this, y'all. I mean, this is something, you know, this is important. This is going to impact all of our lives going forward.
Thanks for that. Thanks for the information. I took some notes down and
yeah,
you know, that's great. Thank you.
Lark, thanks again. I appreciate it. You're pushing the on us to everybody to learn about this. And I agree with you. It's important. We got to learn about it. And I got to do more to learn more about it. Thanks again. All right, we got Chance in West Virginia real quick. Chance, hello.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hello, gang. One of your callers mentioned President Eisenhower. He was president when I was born. Now I got a double disdain for that piece of crap. And I'll tell you why. One side of my family are Germans and Hungarians. Not only did he murder all those German prisoners, but he stabbed the Hungarian freedom fighters in the back in 1956. So therefore, I think he's a piece of dung. What do you think, Monica?
Are you talking about Eisenhower? Yeah.
Yes, I am. The piece of crap.
Oh, I mean, that's why those camps are named the Eisenhower death camps. And my father was in one of those camps. And so, yeah, I don't exactly hold that man in high esteem. And I don't know why there's mountains named after him or whatever. Like, he's just a criminal of the worst order.
Well, see, as far as I'm concerned, I still have relatives over in Hungary and Germany to this day. So he stabbed my ancestors in the back, too. So, and it's a shame how history represents him as some kind of great general and great president. Like I said, I think he's a piece of dung. All right, thank you for taking my call now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chance. Yep, Eisenhower was, he was terrible. He stopped Patton from ending the war, mainly for the Germans, and allowed the Russians to come in from the east and genocide the Germans, like you were alluding to there, Monica, and rape German women and kill and rape German women and children in the most Talmudic, sick, depraved kind of way. Just millions of German women raped and people, innocent civilians murdered because of Eisenhower. And at the end of the war, Patton said, we fought the wrong enemy. We should have sided with the Germans and fought against the communists. And this is Semitic, and they killed him for it. So
that's right. They killed him for it.
Yeah. All right. Last words, Monica.
Well, thanks so much for having us on. This was it flew by. I want to leave some time for Frederick to have his last words. And yeah, thank you very much. It was very stimulating discussion.
As always, fantastic. Thanks for being here. Frederick.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure. Miss Monica, look forward to Saturday night, and I appreciate everybody listening and, you know, watch those hate facts.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys. Take care. See you next week.
Crazy Claws, the wildcat with a sharp wit and claws to match. They join the world's fastest Australian bear.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.